Petty, and this is an encore presentation of Intersection. Florida is a state of frequent rain and hurricanes, yet water is a dwindling resource. It's at the centre of a tug of war among urban areas, agriculture and environmentalists who say Florida's treasured waterways are drying up. I'll talk with former Florida Governor and US Senator Bob Graham, who says the state's springs and streams need more attention. I'll also talk with a representative of the state's Department of Environmental Protection about what's next for Florida's waterways. That's ahead on Intersection. Bob Graham is a former Florida governor and U.S. senator. Now he's focused on the state's springs. Florida is home to more than 700 springs, possibly the largest concentration in the world. In central Florida, the Wekiva River and Wekiva Springs are under threat from pollution. Graham is chairman of the Florida Conservation Coalition, which is focused on the state's water. Senator Bob Graham, you've called Florida's environmental issues one of the greatest emergencies in Florida history. How do we get to this point?
We got to this point because we've had a period of intense increase in pollution of our springs and streams and a decrease in the water flow, which in the past has balanced the pollution and maintained a certain level of quality. We also have stopped some of our important programs of protection. We're not enforcing water pollution as we have in the past. We're not purchasing land adjacent to springs and streams to protect the water body as we have aggressively for the last 30-plus years.
Doesn't the Department of Environmental Protection have some money set aside for land purchases of that nature?
The whole state this year will spend something in the order of $25 million on all land purchases. The land purchases in the watersheds of our major rivers have been a source of major protection of the rivers, but the program has, for all intents and purposes, terminated.
So what are the specific environmental challenges facing the Wekiva River and the springshed there?
They are similar to what's happening to our other springs and streams across the state. The water flow is down. The pollution levels are up. The enforcement has been dramatically reduced. Those are the primary contributing factors to the decline of the Wekiva, Silver Springs, Rainbow Springs, Econfina Springs, dozens of other springs and streams in Florida.
And if nothing is done to change the way things are going now, what would happen to a spring like Wekiva?
Well, it'll collapse, and we have already had some of our springs, particularly in the Polk County area, that have they've become dry ditches rather than active streams.
Is there a way to bring those springs back, or is that it for them?
Once they're gone, they're gone.
I mean, the aquifer under Florida, it's been described to me as like a giant sponge. So, I mean, is there, and I know that there are sort of efforts underway to restore some of the springs, but is it a matter of once you go beyond a certain point, you just can't come back?
I think there is a point of no return when the flow out of the springs into the stream reaches a point of such diminution, it's not recoverable.
Are we at that point yet with Wekiva?
I mean, I think the Wekiva is still salvageable, but we can't wait very long to get at the business. And Silver Springs, which is maybe the most iconic spring in Florida, is even closer to a point of despair.
So if you were to put a time frame on, I mean, what would be the timeline for springs like Wekiva or the Wekiva River?
I can't put a specific, I think probably this next 6 to 10 years will be the critical period for the future of the Wakaiba.
Can you point your finger at any one entity in terms of excess consumption? I mean, is it a matter of looking at agriculture or development or both or other things as well?
The answer is there probably is no individual consumptive use which is responsible for what's happened to so many of our streams, but it's the cumulative effect of multiple permits being issued over periods of time, and there's now even a proposal to allow the outstanding permits to be extended for up to 30 years, which would have the effect of largely taking away the ability to review periodically these permits to make a judgment in light of the total amount of water that's now been authorized to be removed. Is it still prudent? Does this specific permit meet the test of being in the public interest?
And to your knowledge, is the Wakaiba facing a challenge from these extended permits?
It will be affected by this proposal to allow longer and longer permits. Right now, the Wakaiba's principal problem is a pollution problem, and I've seen reports that the level of pollution is as much as 400 to 500% above what it should be. The Wakaiba, as of now, still has what is considered to be the minimum amount of water flow to sustain itself and to be able to maintain a functioning aquatic environment.
And you've been quoted as saying there's a lack of oversight of the waterways. I mean, who really is responsible for looking out for them?
There are five water management districts in Florida. Central Florida is under three of them. There's the South Florida, the Southwest Florida, and the St. John's. Those are the entities that have the responsibility to both decide how much water can be removed and then to enforce those permits.
And are they doing the job they should be?
They've cut back significantly. The St. John's reduced their amount of oversight from once a year to once every 3 years, and I think that's kind of a typical pattern because the budgets of these agencies have been severely reduced, requiring very massive layoffs of some of the most knowledgeable and expert people in the district administration.
And that's a criticism which has been leveled at the Florida state government. But I know that they've come back and said, well, there's no sort of sinister undertone there. But I mean, how do you see these?
Well, I think I don't think it's just a matter of chance that they go in and decide that the enforcement division, which is the part of the agency responsible for seeing that the standards are met, is going to be cut by a third. And that in that one-third cut were a disproportionate number of the more experienced people in the agency. I have to believe that there was some kind of a overall plan to reduce the capability of the water management districts, and that a direct way to do so is to reduce the competence and the experience of the human beings who have the responsibility to see that our waters continue to be adequate and safe.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7. We're talking to former U.S. Senator and Governor of Florida, Bob Graham. I'm Matthew Petty. Senator Graham is involved in a campaign to improve water quality in the Wakaiba River. What do you think about water quality in Florida? Is the state doing enough to conserve its natural heritage? Share your thoughts on Twitter or Facebook. Or you can email us at intersection@wmfe.org. Now, Senator, you've criticized Governor Scott's environmental policies in the past, but his latest budget proposal does allocate funding towards environmental restoration and particularly springs restoration. Is it enough money, do you think?
No. We think, in fact, the water management districts themselves have recently produced a report as to what they think the cost would be of salvaging the springs and streams under their responsibility, and the total number was in the range of $125 million. The governor's budget is dramatically less than that.
I want to ask you, too, I know that you formed the Florida Conservation Coalition. It's a bipartisan group to advance conservation measures. Do you find that there is bipartisan support, for example, in the legislature for spring protection and conservation now compared to maybe 10 years ago?
Well, it's not as good as it was 10 years ago. The slide in protection has been primarily in the last 2.5 years. The legislature last year at the 2012 session at least did no more damage to Florida's environment. 2011 was a terrible year where 40 years of progress in terms of protecting our water and land was largely erased. I'm hopeful that in 2013 we'll do more than just stopping the bleeding and we'll actually begin to move forward with some programs that will have a long-term beneficial effect, such as the restoration of the plan under which for the better part of 35 years the state has been buying environmentally sensitive land, much of it in the floodplain of rivers, in order to protect the rivers from inappropriate development and non-source pollution.
How likely is that, though? Because, I mean, in times like these when everybody seems to want to cut budgets, it just seems like some people might see that as a luxury, money for that kind of purchase.
Well, I don't think it's any form of a luxury. Our state's fundamental natural resource is its fresh water. And it not only is an environmental resource, it's an economic resource. The reason that we have such a booming agriculture and tourism in Florida is almost totally related to the quality of the environment of Florida for those activities. And if we are self-indulgent to the point that we contaminate our water supplies, we are going to be leaving a very tarnished inheritance to our children and grandchildren.
Do you think, though, is it difficult to balance the demands of agriculture, which is so crucial in the state of Florida, with the needs of conservation?
Actually, I myself am in the cattle and dairy business in Florida, so I know that well, and I think that as a general proposition, agriculture has been a good steward of the resources of Florida.
Has that changed at all, though?
No, and what's changed is that as the population of the state has grown to now almost 20 million, agriculture is being squeezed by urban expansion. You see that particularly in the what used to be the center of the citrus industry in Florida. With the freezes that we had back in the 1980s and the decisions that were made by many to convert their citrus groves into development purposes, there's noticeably less agriculture in Florida today than there has been historically.
Do you think the fact that we're still sort of climbing out of a recession might have had something to do with what's happened to the Florida environment in the last couple of years?
It's obviously affected the amount of resources that private people have and the government. Environment has absorbed some of that, the consequence of less money available. But what's happened in the last couple of years is much more than just environment being given its share of reduction. It has been a wholesale cutback of our capability to protect our most precious natural resources.
Some people say construction and development are a good way to build out of an economic recession, but in Florida, that's put a lot of pressure on natural resources. How do you balance those two?
Well, I don't think we're going to build our way out of the recession by corrupting the very things that make Florida a place people want to come to. I don't know of any statistics that indicate that by the dramatic reductions in the protections afforded to Florida's land and water that we have created any cascade of new jobs. I think what we've created is a cascade of real and potential degradation to our environment and to our future.
Is that message getting through to people in Tallahassee, the lawmakers?
Well, we're going to find out pretty soon. The legislature goes in session first week in March, and there are going to be a number of bills that have already been written which would further the damage to our environment, and there have been some written that will have as their goal to restore reasonable policies for the protection of land and water. Ask me in about 2.5 months, and I'll tell you what kind of grade the legislature deserves.
Have you been able to help in crafting any of those bills or help draft them up?
The Florida Conservation Coalition has been active in developing the positive bills, active in flagging the bills that we think would be negative.
And it's the 500th anniversary of Juan Ponce de Leon arriving in Florida, and I know you've talked about this in the past, but I want to ask you, I mean, if he were alive today, what would he say about the state of the environment here?
I think he would be concerned that the state today was a far cry from that which he saw on Easter Sunday of 1513. He would be realistic enough to understand that Florida is a very attractive place to live, and whereas there were only a few indigenous people here when he arrived, today there are almost 20 million people here, so inevitably there are going to be some changes. The question is, have we protected our most vital and permanently sustaining resources, such as our fresh water, and have we used our land in a way that will meet the needs of a growing population, but do so in a way that will protect what is special, unique, and could be eternally contributing to the quality of Florida.
Finally, Senator, I mean, you paint a bit of a dim picture about the way things have been going in the last 10 years or so. Are you confident or are you optimistic about the future of Florida's environment?
I'm by nature an optimist, and I believe that the people of Florida have gone through a challenge like this in the past in areas from the environment to education, and they have in all cases come to the recognition of what's fundamental and important for the future of the state and have rallied behind it and selected leadership which would accomplish those objectives.
Senator, thank you very much for joining us.
Great. Thank you very much, Matthew.
Up next, comments from Florida's Department of Environmental Protection. Drew Bartlett is the Director of the Department of Environmental Protection Division of Environmental Assessment and Restoration. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Well, first of all, Mr. Bartlett, the DEP last year adopted its first ever springs restoration plan, and the plan also includes Central Florida's Wekiva River. I wonder if you can tell me, just explain how that will benefit the river.
Well, a number of years ago, we identified the Wekiva River as impaired for nutrients. Nutrients are one of our biggest challenges in the state, and many of our springs in the state do have elevated levels of nutrients, which can cause algal blooms and loss of certain aquatic species in the river, and it's very important to get these under control. So we adopt these restoration goals. We do this across the state. We've done it for Wekiva and Wekiva Springs and Wekiva River. And once those goals are adopted, which happened a few years back, we proceed with looking for opportunities and crafting a restoration plan. And we have just released a draft restoration plan for the Wekiva River that has many projects listed in it to try to reduce nutrient inputs to the river system, because we're really trying to get a handle on this and restore it to its protective condition. And nutrients being the biggest challenge, there are a lot of projects to identify.
I want to ask you, too, about the legislative session. Of course, it's just a few weeks away, and Governor Rick Scott has introduced more than $74 billion state budget that many environmentalists are really saying is a good one for the environment, doubles money for the Everglades restoration, and also includes money for the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services to find ways to limit farm-related pollution. And also, the governor has added more money for Florida Forever, which is the state's land preservation program. But we had former Florida governor and U.S. Senator Bob Graham saying that it's just not enough. He says the state's waterways need more attention. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, it does take resources. We do need funds to get at these challenging issues, nutrient pollution being probably the biggest challenge we have before us. We are seeking more funds now than we have before to try to get at these pollution sources. It's not going to be just the state-level funding that's going to be necessary. We are going to need federal funds to bring to the table, and the local governments, county and city, are going to have to bring funds to the table as well in order to get at this challenging issue. So while funds are needed from all directions, we are trying to get more funds than ever before out of the state government's budget.
And when you talk about getting more funds from the federal level too, is there anything concrete in terms of going to Washington and asking them for more money to help sort of bring this spring protection, you know, really into action?
That's certainly something that we talk with them about. We do get certain funds from the federal government as we speak. It's important that we do engage them, though, and talk to them specifically about springs as to what they can do to help us get there. We know they bring a lot of funding for agriculture sources and other non-point sources, and they do bring us a lot of funds for municipal-type sources. So it's all on the table. It's getting prioritized for springs and water quality as we speak, but there's no shortage of conversation that we can have.
Sure. Now, during Governor Scott's first 2 years in office, he received a bit of criticism from environmentalists about his policies. And now, as you say, there's more resources being put into springs protection particularly. Do you think that these new environmental proposals are enough to balance previous cuts that were made to, say, for example, Florida Forever and the state's water management districts?
Well, what we've been doing with as far as water quality restoration is really bringing a lot of effort to setting the goals and running them through our restoration process. We've had one in place for a number of years now, and we've set more TMDLs and restoration plans than we have in the past. So I think what we're doing is just completely ramping up our efforts. This didn't start just this year. I mean, we've workshopped TMDLs over the course of the past 2 years, TMDLs being the restoration goal setting phase. And we have restoration plans being discussed and adopted throughout the state, too. So while there is a lot of public sentiment to try to get more on water quality, there's certainly not a disagreement here. We really do want to certainly bring as much as we can to get at these really challenging issues.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. I'm talking with Drew Bartlett of Florida's Department of Environmental Protection. I'm Matthew Petty. Do you think the DEP goes far enough for the state's environment? Let us know on Facebook or Twitter, or email us at intersection@wmfe.org. Drew Bartlett, I want to ask you too, I mean, the DEP has come under a little bit of fire too for a recent shake-up that resulted in 58 layoffs of veteran employees, and critics in that case pointed to the fact that the secretary of the department, Herschel Vineyard, hired several new higher-ups with experience of working for the companies that the department is supposed to oversee. I mean, is this a new direction for the department, and if so, how would you explain it?
Well, let me just talk about myself. I have a, let me count it up now, 23-year career in environmental protection. I had 17 years with the Environmental Protection Agency, and I came down here 5 years ago. So my whole life has been dedicated to, you know, putting policies and rules and standards in place to try to get at better water quality. So that is my direction. I certainly believe in it, and I plan to do that for the rest of my life.
As far as water quality restoration, do you get the sense overall that there's more pressure on the resource now and that it's becoming more difficult to restore those springs, or are you fairly confident that the money that's going into it from the department now, and also some of those initiatives talking about Wekiva Springs and the other springs particularly too, those efforts will be effective?
Well, I tell you, springs are one of the more tricky water bodies to restore, and the reason being is that they get their water from underground. And so it is very difficult to figure out what happens underground as it makes its way to the spring. It goes through underground rivers, which are unknown for the most part, and the aquifer flow systems are very hard to measure. Our approach, and it has been for a number of years, is to really get at sources. Let's try to reduce the sources that are nearest the spring, continue to monitor the springs, and then continue to look for more opportunities to reduce the sources. It's a long-term endeavor. It's going to take resources for many, many years. One budget isn't going to do it. One restoration plan probably will not do it. It just takes continuous effort to try to restore these springs.
And, I mean, do you get the sense that there's more urgency now than there might have been perhaps sort of 10 years ago or even 20 years ago to get things fixed?
I would say there's definitely more investment in restoration of the springs. For a long time, we were focused very much on monitoring and evaluating the springs and very much on public education in the springs and their spring sheds. Still very important, but we're making a very dramatic transition into actually implementing projects that reduce nutrient sources. So I would say there is a much larger investment in getting at the actual pollution problems.
And is it a hard thing to balance, especially in a state like Florida, where you know agriculture is a pretty critical part of the economy here? How do you sort of balance out the environmental needs with, you know, the needs of large-scale agricultural businesses?
Well, as I told you before, I used to work at EPA, so I have a perspective being able to look across the country and see what is being done with agricultural sources. I can tell you we are far ahead of the game than the rest of the nation. We are the only state in the nation that actually adopts rules that govern best practices on agricultural lands to minimize the amount of fertilizer that's used, to minimize the amount of water that's used, to really get at control of the loss of nutrients. And so at the moment, we are focusing our resources and our ground crews on working with every agricultural interest to try to get the best, most optimal agriculture in the nation here in the state of Florida. And for the very reason, protecting our waterways.
I've been speaking with Drew Bartlett of the State Department of Environmental Protection. Bartlett is Director of the Division of Environmental Assessment and Restoration. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at wmfe.org/intersection. There you can also sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Amy Green is assistant producer. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening. The people.